So as I mentioned right in the beginning, this Thursday was Ascension Day. And Ascension is one of those moments in the Christian calendar year that churches can very easily pass over. We're familiar with the flow that we know well, which is Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, and then Easter Sunday, and then Pentecost. Jesus is born, he dies, he rises, and then the Spirit is poured out. So Ascension can feel like a little part in between that we're not quite sure what to do with. But it's not a minor detail between Easter and Pentecost, because it tells us where Jesus is now. It tells us the authority he has and why the church can live and witness today. When Jesus ascended, he didn't abandon us. Instead, he was enthroned. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He is the crucified, risen, embodied Lord. A real man with a real body is ruling heaven and earth. And Jesus didn't abandon his humanity. He carried our humanity, restored and glorified through him, into the presence of the Father. The cross paid for the sin, the resurrection vindicated him, and it is the ascension that has enthroned him. And Paul says in Ephesians 4:10, he who descends is the same who ascends far above all the heavens, so that he might fulfill all things. Because ascension is the victory of Christ now and forever. And it should change how we live and how we live in a world that looks so unfinished. Because before everything on earth looks restored, Christ already reigns. And that's exactly where we meet the disciples in Acts 1. Because they are with the risen Jesus, but they have a question. Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Now, we might hear them ask this and think they might have completely missed the point. After everything Jesus has taught them and shown them, after the cross and the resurrection, they're still asking about the kingdom of Israel. But their question might not be as foolish as it first sounds, because they're not asking something small. They are longing for God to finish what he promised. They are longing for restoration. They are longing for evil to be judged, for God's people to be gathered up and put right, for the kingdom of God to be seen fully and openly. And that longing isn't wrong. In fact, it is a faithful type of longing. So the problem isn't that they want restoration. The problem is they want to be able to hold on to a timeline. They ask, Lord, is this the time? And perhaps that question is a lot closer to us than we first realize, because we ask that in many different instances too. Not always in those exact same words, but within our hearts. Lord, is this the time when things will finally change, when our waiting will be over, where pain will make sense? Lord, when you'll show me what you're doing in this? I, as a single woman, know that question all too well. Every year has been, Lord, when's the time? And I'm sure you can each think of a question that you're asking, that you're thinking, Lord, when is the time for this to come into my life or to go out of my life? Because we know that kind of question that we ask when life feels uncertain, when we're tired of waiting, or when we believe that God is good, but we still can't see how things will work out. And often under that question is another one of, can you just tell me when? Because then I'll have better faith. Then I'll be able to endure better. I'll be a better Christian if I just know roughly when. But Jesus doesn't give his disciples a date. He doesn't satisfy their desire to know what the Father holds. Instead, he says, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. And that might sound a little harsh at first, but it's not a dismissal. It's actually a boundary set for our benefit. Because there are some things that belong to the Father's authority. Timings that are not placed in our hands. And whilst it feels hard, because we like to plan, we like to know what's going on, we like to understand, but Jesus actually lovingly closes that door. Because the future is not ours to carry. It's not a burden for us to take on. The timetable belongs to the Father. But Jesus doesn't leave the disciples empty-handed, no. He doesn't give them a date. Instead, he gives them the Spirit. And he doesn't give them the control they're looking for, but he promises power. So he doesn't give that timetable, but he gives a calling unto each one. He says, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And it's a great turn in the passage. The disciples ask, when's the kingdom coming? And Jesus replies, you will receive power. They ask the timing, and he says, here is the task of being my witness. And that matters because it's not when everything's settled, then you can serve me, or get yourself in order, then you'll be useful. He uses us where we are. And in whatever state we're already in. And when he says, you will be my witness, a witness is someone who can tell the truth about what they have seen and what they have heard. The disciples had seen the risen Christ. They had seen his wounds. They had eaten with him after the resurrection. And now they will see him taken up in glory. They are not witnesses because they're impressive. They are witnesses because Christ revealed himself to them. And so it's same for us, the church. Because the church is not sent into the world because we're impressive, far from it. But we are sent because Jesus reigns. So often we carry burdens that Jesus never placed on our shoulders. We begin to think that the future of the church depends on us, that the restoration, everything depends on us. But that's too heavy a burden for the church to carry. We are only called to be faithful witnesses, not anxious saviors. There is one Savior, and he is enthroned in heaven. So if ascension means that Christ is enthroned, then the question is, can I be faithful where Christ has placed me? Can I pray rather than panic? Can I serve without needing to control the outcome? Can I forgive, welcome, speak, and keep loving because Jesus is King, no matter what I'm going through? That is the ascension faith we experience. Because it's not passive or frantic, it's faithful. And then Jesus says, where the witness will begin is first in Jerusalem, and then all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And notice the order. It begins in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was not a neutral place for the disciples. This is where everything went down. It's where Jesus was crucified, where they had hidden in fear. Jerusalem was the place where everything seemed to go wrong. But yet this is where their witness begins. Not somewhere easy or a mission field far away or even a new place. It begins where they are, because that's often how God works in our lives, in our own Jerusalem. It's the place we are already. Among the people who already know us, in the streets we've walked, and in the church we already belong to. Even with our past wounds, our questions, and our unfinished stories, our witness begins where we are. Not once every question is answered, or when we feel ready. Here where Christ has placed us is where the Spirit empowers us. We people need to see not a perfect church, a faithful one. A people who can say with their lives, Jesus reigns. Even while we wait, while there is still sorrow and uncertainty, Jesus reigns. And it is then from Jerusalem our witness moves outward to Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Because the ascended Christ is not a Lord of only one people, of one place. It's not private and local and temporary. His kingdom is for all peoples, all languages and all nations, which takes us directly to Daniel's vision. Because Daniel says, as I watched in the night visions, I saw like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. It's a throne room vision because Daniel sees the Ancient of Days himself, God himself seated in majesty. And then this one like the son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. And now in scripture, clouds aren't just a form of weather. They often speak of the presence of God, the presence and glory of God. At Sinai, the Lord descended in cloud. In the wilderness, the cloud leads God's people. The glory of the Lord fills the tabernacle and the temple. So it's not merely a human figure. This is one who shares in divine glory. And what's given to him? Dominion. Kingship, glory. And Daniel says all people, nations, and languages will serve him. His dominion is everlasting. His kingdom shall not pass away. And so when Acts tells us that Jesus is lifted up and a cloud takes him from the sight, the cloud isn't an accessory. It's telling us what kind of moment they are experiencing. Because Jesus is entering into the glory of the Father. He is the Son of Man in Daniel's vision. The crucified and risen Jesus is being enthroned. And we see a beautiful progression as the one who was rejected by man goes into glory, who was crowned by thorns receives a crown of dominion, and who was lifted up on the cross is lifted up into glory. And that is what ascension means. It's not Jesus disappearing one day after everything had been done. It's the enthronement. And so we can't skip it, because if we move straight from Easter to Pentecost without stopping at ascension, we miss and make the gospel so much smaller than what it's giving us. Because ascension tells us, yes, Jesus reigns. He's not only our Savior from the cross, He is our Lord, our King. He's exalted. He's not only remembered by His disciples, He's enthroned by the right hand of the Father. Now, that doesn't mean everything on earth already looks like it should. When Jesus ascended, the disciples didn't look around and see the whole world suddenly transform. Rome was still Rome. Jerusalem was still tense, and the disciples were still a small, fragile group. But yet Christ reigns. And that is perhaps one of the hardest but most necessary truths for us as Christians and church to learn. Because Christ still reigns whilst things look unfinished, while the world is raging on around us, whilst restoration is still unfolding. Because it is while we are waiting for the fullness of the restoration of the kingdom of God. And the disciples wanted to know when the restoration would be visible. And Jesus shows them that before anything can be restored, they must first know that they know that He is reigning. Do we know He is reigning in every aspect of our lives? Are we honest with ourselves that we know, because He is, but sometimes we don't accept it in the difficult parts, that He is reigning over those difficulties? And that's where faith has to live, It is under the reign of Christ, because there is a kind of faith that can only cope when everything looks successful. When the church is full, or finances are strong, or there's energy and momentum. But ascension gives us something stronger than visible success. It says, even when you cannot see the full outcome, Christ reigns. When you have more questions, Christ reigns. And scripture then says, the disciples look up. And then two men in white robes stand by them and say, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? And we might think, well, of course they're looking up. Jesus just ascended. What else would they be doing? But the angels are redirecting them, because there is a looking up that is a type of worship. But there is also a looking up that can become paralyzing, because the disciples were never meant to be frozen at the place where Jesus was last visible. They were not meant to build their faith staring into the sky, staying suspended in what they had seen rather than what they had been called to do. In other words, Jesus had told them what had come next. You are to wait for the Spirit, you are to be witnesses, and He will come again. But you cannot simply just stand there. And it's a good reminder to us when we read this that we don't miss it. Because we too can be looking back at what was maybe an easier time of our lives, a previous season or familiar patterns, places where Jesus was easier to recognize around us. And we might be holding on to that. We could also be looking up in a way that sounds spiritual, but quietly avoids obedience. We might be waiting for the perfect clarity, the ideal conditions, or until we feel ready. But the angel asks, why do you stand and keep looking up? The ascension Christ has given His church is a calling, not to stare to the place where we have last seen Him in our lives, but to go out and be witnesses to the One who reigns now in every aspect of our lives. And that's then when the angel gives the promise. This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come the same way you saw Him. This Jesus, that is the Jesus that taught them, the Jesus that called them, that touched the lepers and wept, who was crucified and rose with His wounds, who ate with them. He will come again. What a beautiful promise unto the disciples and unto us. Because ascension is teaching us to live between two truths. It is the Christ that reigns now and the Christ that will return. We're living between enthronement and return, really. And we can do so with joy, no matter what is around us, no matter what goes on in the world. So then in closing, what does ascension ask of us? From our scripture today, we see that it asks us first to lift our eyes, not to escape the world, but to see it truthfully. It asks us to release the timetable of knowing what's going to happen when, because there are things that the Father has not placed in our hands that are not to be a burden unto us. It asks us to receive the calling, to be the witness of Christ where we are, and it asks us to wait for the Spirit, because the mission of the church cannot be carried out in human strength. Now, we have accepted Christ into our lives. We have the Spirit, but we look forward to the celebration of that Spirit next week. So this week, as we go ahead, it may look like an ordinary week for us, but let it be an ascension week, where prayer takes over any panicking. It may look like speaking of Jesus with courage in a situation that you feel nervous of. And it could simply be living in such a way that not by your words, but by your actions, people see the Bible. Because you might be the only Bible someone encounters in their entire life. So we move forward not because we're ready, but because Jesus, our risen King, reigns. And we just take a moment to acknowledge our risen King, the cross bare for our transgressions. But he has not left us. He has left his Spirit to be with us through every difficulty. And his word says, where two or more are gathered, there he is in our midst. He is among us. And because we have the Spirit, his presence is always among us.